RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you the news, commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. Then we will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news, with me Rahma. First, the headlines. World Culture Forum 2016 was officially opened. Indonesia to be world's role model on peace. Now the news in detail. World Culture Week 2016 was officially opened by the former Indonesian President Megawati Sukarnoputri on Thursday in Nusa Dua, Bali. In her speech, Megawati called on all participants to share the spirit of mutual cooperation owned by the Indonesian people. She said mutual cooperation could be run in sharing thoughts and ideas in an effort to form a national identity. She said the culture will provide enlightenment in facing the challenges of the development.
Melalui forum kebudayaan dunia ini,
in this World Culture Forum, I invite you all to discuss, share thoughts and ideas, how the tradition and culture had formed national identity, especially in the terrain of modernity, globalization, and the free market. The rise of culture can bring enlightenment and at the same time wave of change that is human, full of solidarity and social justice based on respect for nature and ecosystem.
Serta berkeadilan sosial yang berbasis pada penghargaan terhadap alam dan ekosistem.
Previously, Director of UNESCO Irina Bokova via video conference said, World Culture Forum plays an important role in the global reflection to expand the development direction and generate new sustainable strategies. She said for decades the role of culture has been abandoned and is changing rapidly. Therefore, according to her, in the near future, UNESCO will launch a global report on cultural and sustainable regional development to integrate culture into regional development policies at all levels. Indonesia could be the role model for other countries in pursuit of peace amid the current global condition, which is full of conflict and economic recession. It was said by Vice President Kala in a press conference for Bridges, Dialogue Towards a Culture of Peace in Jakarta on Wednesday. The Bridges Dialogue will be held from January to March 2017 in 12 universities and 2 high schools in Indonesia. The Vice President will be the honorary chairman for the international event in Indonesia, in which winners of Peace, Physics, Chemistry, and Medical Nobel Prize will give public lectures and conduct dialogues with students from schools and universities. Nobel winners who will attend the dialogue in Indonesia include recipients of 2007 Economy Nobel Professor Eric Stark Maskin, 2012 Peace Nobel José Manuel Barroso, 1979 Physics Nobel Professor Sheldon Lee Glaslow, 1993 Medical Nobel Dr. Sir Richard J. Roberts, 2003 Economy Nobel Robert Fry Ugel III, 1990 Physics Nobel Professor Jerome Isaac Friedman, and 2003 chemistry Nobel Dr. Peter Agar. Other than Indonesia, the dialogue initiated by the International Peace Foundation in Vienna, Austria, will also be held in Thailand, Philippines, Malaysia, Cambodia, Vietnam, and Singapore. Indonesian Coordinating Political, Legal, and Security Minister Wiranto said after a meeting with President Jokowi at the Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday, President Joko Widodo will form a task force assigned to eradicate illegal levies in government institutions. The team is expected to carry out its duties starting next week. He remarked that the team is called Saber Pungli, or Illegal Levies Clean Sweep. He further stated the team will serve the task under the Coordinating Ministry for Political, Legal, and Security Affairs Supervision. He explained the national police and other relevant institutions will be involved. He revealed public will be able to participate in the effort by directly reporting illegal levy practices. Wiranto viewed that such a practice was triggered by overlapping regulations. Wiranto hopes the policy package related to law reform will simplify the regulations and prevent illegal levies. Indonesian Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita said online permit application process would be the best effort to prevent illegal levies because it excludes the involvement of officials. Enggar Tias Tolukita explained online permit application would accelerate license issuance, provided that certain requirements were to be fulfilled. The first requirement, Enggar Tias Tolukita said, is transparency, meaning that the permit must be published. The second requirement is the period for the permit issuance. Enggar Tias Tolukita pointed out less human interactions in terms of permit applications will prevent illegal levies from occurring at ministries. Enggar Tias Tolukita claimed such system has been applied at his institution, such as at the Directorate General for Foreign Trade. Enggar Tias Tolukita claimed that he had warned officials at his institution that illegal levy practices would result in imprisonment. In addition, Enggar Tias Tolukita said the public can contact the ministry if they experience difficulties in accessing services provided by the ministry. The United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, or UNESCO, has praised the West Java provincial capital of Bandung as one of model cities in the world. Bandung Mayor Ridwan Kamil said at Bandung City Hall on Wednesday, when he was in Bali on Tuesday, received appreciation from UNESCO as a city capable of keeping the balance between infrastructure, culture, and humanity. He said Bandung received appreciation from the world body as a model city thanks to its hard work from various parties that supported its development and work program to make it comfortable in terms of infrastructure, culture, and humanity. He remarked, although many infrastructures still have to be built in Bandung, its residents' happiness index has been met, given infrastructure development, spiritual programs, and open space such as city parks, and various programs they have carried out are considered special by UNESCO. Therefore, Bandung serves as a model city due to the high happiness index of its residents. He added, if they want to make progress, they must live in harmony with nature as well as with other people. The Indonesian Ministry of Religious Affairs will launch Al-Quran page writing event to meet the National Santri or Islamic Boarding School Students' Day on October 22nd. Minister of Religious Affairs Lukman Hakim Saifuddin said on Wednesday, through this program, the ministry would like to make Muslims understand Al-Quran better and implement its teachings in their daily life. Promoting Al-Quran in the society, he said, can be done through building a habit to write, study, discuss, and implement the values contained in it. The minister added the program is aimed at building Indonesians' character. The Al-Quran Writing Program is launched simultaneously from the central ministry down to local levels. The program involves 40,128 Islamic boarding school students across the country. He remarked, each student will write 2 pages from Al-Quran in an hour, and so tens of pages will be produced simultaneously within the period. He added, each province will contribute a sheet of an Al-Quran page, which will be collected in the form of a book and delivered to President Joko Widodo at the National Santri Day event in Serang, Banten Province on October 22, 2016. Jakarta Provincial Government is fixing asset recording through e-asset system. Indeed, asset recording in Jakarta is not optimal. Thus, many assets foreclosed. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama disclosed there was previously no synchronization of recording assets in regions with Jakarta Financial Asset Management or BPKAD. It is hoped through e-asset there is no more missing city assets or taken over. He stated Jakarta system is somewhat chaotic. Previously, the developer gave social and public facilities to the mayor. Supposedly, Jakarta Financial Asset Management only make the recording. According to Basuki, through e-asset they can return the asset data that have not been recorded. He added, this year they began to do controlling. In fact, there is no bookkeeping at all in Jakarta Financial Asset Management. Well, listener, that's the news.
Listener, our commentary today entitled Empowering Agriculture Sector in Border Areas. Agriculture, especially food crops, plays a major role to maintain the resilience of a country. Indonesia is an agricultural country that relies on the role of agriculture sector to meet the basic needs of its people. In everyday life, Indonesian people depend on rice as a staple food. To reach even distribution of people's welfare in the food sector, the government through the Minister of Agriculture is trying to develop the agriculture sector in some regions whose territory lies on the border. Take for example, Riau Island includes Natuna Regency, Karimun, Bintan and Batam and other border areas adjacent to the neighboring countries. So far, Java has been the center of the rice land domestically. It takes a lot of time and cost to make deliveries of rice to marginal areas or at the border areas. Consequently, the price of rice in the regions becomes more expensive. To meet the basic needs, the population in the border regions sometimes buys rice from neighboring countries that are located closer to the territory. The access of the arrival of foreign products to Indonesia often uses so-called rat road. Batam, for example, bordering with Singapore, becomes a gate of allotted imported goods without a section food. Agriculture Minister Amran Sulaiman remarked that Indonesia would be able to increase food production, especially rice, if the agriculture sector in the border region is developed. Riau Islands can prioritize organic food crops whose products are more expensive but enjoyed by overseas consumers such as Singapore and Malaysia. Other border regions have also an opportunity to further enhance the agriculture that can be exported. Take, for example, East Sumba can export its agriculture products to Timor-Leste just on foot. Because it is very close, likewise Morocco is bordering with Papua New Guinea, PNG. To develop agriculture in the border areas, the Minister of Agriculture is carrying out the application of technology and integrative planting calendar, so-called CATAM. CATAM itself is an information system that is used to anticipate climate variability. Through this step, farmers can adjust the timing and pattern of planting food crops and cultivation technology that is most appropriate and the application of adaptive varieties that are resistant to drought. Minister of Agriculture and the Minister of Public Works and Minister of Environment and Forest also build sustainable irrigation until 2020. It is expected that the synergy among the relevant ministries will be able to fully develop domestic agriculture products in a bid to create prosperity for Indonesian people. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, it's nice to meet you again in our daily program Today in History, offered at Rural Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Well, we begin our program with an event that happened on October 13, 1923, when Ankara replaced Istanbul as the capital city. Ankara, formerly known as Şişli and Ankara, is the capital of the Republic of Turkey. Ankara was Atatürk's headquarters from 1920 and has been the capital of the Republic since its founding in 1923, replacing Istanbul following the fall of the Ottoman Empire. The government is a prominent employer, but Ankara is also an important commercial and industrial city located at the center of Turkish road and railway networks. Although situated in one of the driest places of Turkey and surrounded mostly by steep vegetation, except for the forested areas of the southern periphery, Ankara can be considered a green city in terms of green areas per inhabitant at 72 square meters, or around 775 square feet per head. The next event is about the International Day for Disaster Reduction. The International Day for Disaster Reduction, IDDR, encourages every citizen and government to take part in building more disaster-resilient communities and nations. The United Nations General Assembly designated October 13 as the International Day for Natural Disaster Reduction as part of its proclamation of International Decade for Natural Disaster Reduction. In 2002, by a further resolution, the General Assembly decided to maintain the annual observance as a vehicle to promote a global culture of natural disaster reduction, including prevention, mitigation, and preparedness. In 2009, the UN General Assembly decided to designate October 13 as the official date and also changed the name to International Day for Disaster Reduction. And the next event was in 1946 when France adopted the Constitution of the Fourth Republic. The French Fourth Republic was the Republican government of France between 1946 and 1958, governed by the Fourth Republican Constitution. It was in many ways a revival of the Third Republic, which was in place before World War II and suffered many of the same problems. France adopted the Constitution of the Fourth Republic on 13 October 1946. The Fourth Republic saw an era of great economic growth in France and the rebuilding of the nation's social institutions and industry after World War II, and played an important part in the developmental process of European integration, which changed the continent permanently. The greatest accomplishments of the Fourth Republic were in social reform and economic development. In 1946, the government established a comprehensive social security system that assured unemployment insurance, disability and old-age pensions, and healthcare to all citizens. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahman.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. The theme of today's Focus is Patient, ASEAN Economic Community, Government Strengthened, Branding Not Open Fabric. Stay tuned in www.voi.co.id. Indonesia Minister of Industry is ready to promote woven fabric that characterizes Indonesian people's clothes, because so far the existence of woven fabric has been less promoted than batik cloth. This was stated by Director General of Small and Medium Industry of Industry Ministry, Gati Wibawaningsih, to Republika in Jakarta on last Sunday. She also said that batik has become popular in many cycles. Not only Indonesian people, but also the world community has known batik clothes as an Indonesian local product. Gati also added that after batik becomes popular, the Minister of Industry will start focusing to introduce woven products next year. Gati further stated that batik product, which has undergone rapid progress, is also produced by micro, small and medium enterprises. The government wants a similar progress for industrial fabrics. According to Gati, craftsmen of woven fabric can be found in many regions across Indonesia, from Sumatra to East Nusa Tenggara, NTT, and Papua. Gati added that from Sumatra, take for example, it is famous for its woven fabric ulos. This ulos from one generation to the next generation has been developed by Batak North Sumatra. In Palembang, South Sumatra, Songket woven fabric is also very well known. Meanwhile, in West Kalimantan, there is Sambas woven fabric, which is a variety of motifs such as the patterns of tepuk berdada, mata punai, awan larat, and pucuk rebung. The branding of these products will be developed to be more known to many people. Gati also explained this branding improvement will be oriented for Indonesian people. Afterwards, the Minister of Industry will also provide education for foreign tourists. Indonesian fabric products consist of not only patterned but also woven fabrics, which are typical products of Indonesia. This step is in line with the Minister's policy to strengthen the branding of domestic industrial products, especially in facing the implementation of the free markets such as ASEAN Economic Community, AEC. Previously, Minister of Industry Air Langga Hartarto said if a product is already on branding properly, it will have a better sale value and becomes a typical characteristic compared to other similar products. In addition, the strengthening of the brand is also able to expand access to international markets. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana.
NRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with News in Brief, read by Rahma. World Culture Week 2016 was officially opened by the former Indonesian President Megawati Soekarnoputri on Thursday in Nusa Dua, Bali. Indonesia could be the role model for other countries in pursuit of peace amid the current global condition, which is full of conflict and economic recession. It was said by Vice President Yusuf Kalla. Indonesian Coordinating Political, Legal and Security Minister Wiranto said after a meeting with President Jokowi at the Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday, President Joko Widodo will form a task force assigned to eradicate illegal levies in government institutions. Indonesian Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita said online permit application process would be the best effort to prevent illegal levies because it excludes the involvement of officials. The United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, or UNESCO, has praised the West Java provincial capital of Bandung as one of model cities in the world. Indonesian Ministry of Religious Affairs will launch Al-Quran page writing event to meet the National Santri or Islamic Boarding School Students Day on October 22nd. Jakarta provincial government is fixing asset recording through e-asset system. Indeed, asset recording in Jakarta is not optimal, thus many assets foreclosed. Well, listener, that's news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. Thank you for still listening to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listeners, now here are our next programs, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is with great pleasure that we meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art, the fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to travel to the Watu Muju River in Purbalingga. Stay tuned. Listener, Panusupan Village is one of many villages in Purbalingga, a province in Central Java. The village has become one of the most popular tourist destinations in Purbalingga. Panusupan has a natural village atmosphere and is rich with art and culture. Entering the village, you will be greeted with a breath of cool air and beautiful green trees. In Purbalingga, tourists can enjoy a wide range of attractions, including Rumah Pohon Kenangan or the Memories Tree House, Watu Muju River, Jembatan or Bridge Selfie, and Jembatan or Bridge Cinta. Listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, we recommend you one attraction in particular during your visit to Purbalingga, the Watu Muju River. The Watu Muju River is incredibly unique and has an unrivaled beauty and exotism that excite and inspire tourists to visit the region. The river is located in a hidden place with rocks and towering on each bank. There are many trees near the river, and the water in Watu Muju River refreshes those who visit it. In addition to refreshing visitors, the water is swift and clear. Shiny black cliffs also choke the river, so many tourists say the river is the Black Canyon of Purbalingga. One of interesting activities for tourists on the Watu Muju River is downriver from the village. Before tourists can partake in a rafting adventure, they have to pay an entrance fee of 7,000 rupiah, which includes admission and parking fees. Before walking along the river's edge, tourists are required to wear a life jacket and helmet. As a tourist, you are also required to warm up, stretching the muscles out in order to avoid a fatal injury during rafting. The river trip takes nearly 3 hours and of course is accompanied by tour guides. Listeners, during the rafting, you can enjoy views of the rock wall textures and clear spring water, which can drink. Additionally, you will encounter many small waterfalls, another attraction tourists enjoy courtesy of the river. Feel free to stop and enjoy each and every waterfall. Traveling down the Watu Muju is something that should never be missed by tourists traveling to the area. Finally, in order to gather memorable moments properly, bring a waterproof camera. Listener, that was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, where we chatted about Watu Muju River. We will meet again tomorrow with some more interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia. A segment featuring various actual information.
listeners of Voice of Indonesia, it's a pleasure to meet you today for our program Miscellany with me, Rahma. Today in Miscellany, we will discuss the International Day of Disaster Reduction. You can always tune online at voi.co.id. Listener, October 13 is celebrated every year around the world to commemorate the International Day of Disaster Reduction. The International Day of Disaster Reduction was designed by the General Assembly of United Nations to encourage people and governments to take part in building disaster-resilient communities and societies. Through Resolution 44/236 on December 22, 1989, the United Nations General Agency assigned the second Wednesday in October as World Disaster Reduction Day. In 2002, a further resolution from the UN General Assembly was created to celebrate the day every year, in order to bring more awareness to disaster prevention. In 2009, the General Assembly of United Nations assigned October 13 as the International Day of Disaster Reduction. This year, the International Day of Disaster Reduction is themed Live to Tell, Raising Awareness, Reducing Mortality. This theme was selected as a campaign to raise awareness for deaths caused by natural disasters. Disasters are a problem. The need to respond to disasters becomes more important every year, and disaster prevention is the duty of all people in the community. That is why Indonesia has periodically created and updated its national system of disaster management. The Indonesian Disaster Management System is set in Indonesian Constitution No. 24/2007, and consists of legislation, institutional, planning, financing, knowledge, technology, and the plan for disaster management. Listener, from the view of institutional aspects, Indonesian disaster management system can be evaluated on both the formal and informal side. Formally, the National Disaster Relief Agency, or BNPB, is a focal point at the central level of government institutions. Meanwhile, disaster management at the province and city levels is the duty of the Regional Disaster Management Agency, or BPBD. On the informal side, both national and local forums are formed to strengthen disaster management in Indonesia. Large-scale national disaster management is manifested through BNPB. BNPB is a non-departmental government institution whose duty is to help the President of the Republic of Indonesia in coordinating the planning and implementation of disaster management and emergency response activities at regular intervals, and helping to implement disaster management and emergency before, during, and after a disaster occurs. This consists of prevention, preparedness, emergency response, and recovery efforts. Well, listener, that is all for today's edition of Miscellany, in which we discuss the International Day for Natural Disaster Reduction. We will see you next time with another interesting topic or two. I'm Rahma. Goodbye.
tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. Today's edition will present you to an Indonesian talented pop singer, Harvey Maliholo. To initiate the segment, let's enjoy the first song sung by Harvey Maliholo, entitled Dara.
Dalam gerakanmu gemulai kau menari seiring nada syahdu, aku termangu-mangu. Dara, kau sungguh jelita, anggun dan penuh pesona. Binar bola matamu dan senyum yang menawan menggetarkan jiwa. Oh Dara, kau pikat hati yang tak mengerti apa arti senyum di sela-sela tari.
Harvey's talent in singing is inherited from his grandfather, who has a good talent in singing and popular in Indonesia during the post-independence of Indonesia, Bram Aceh. Harvey's grandfather is active in the Association of Hawaiian Music. No wonder if Harvey following his grandfather in singing, who has a golden voice. Harvey also has a golden voice, which has been proven in some Indonesian pop song festivals. Harvey has always been a winner. After he won the radio and television singing contest in 1998, his debut began to shine. A lot of recording companies scrambled to record his voice to be commercialized, especially after he made a duet with an Indonesian female singer, Rafika Duri. His popularity is then getting more increased. Harvey and Rafika Duri created some duet albums and spread in Indonesian music industries. Well, listener, let's listen to the coming song by Harvey and Rafika Duri.
Malam tiba, engkau
The song Cinta Pertama has a strength of tone with good lyrics, which is related to first love that become the sweet memory belongs to everyone. Harvey's popularity lasted only for a decade, although his songs are still enjoyed by Indonesian music lovers. And to end this program, we will listen to a song from Harvey. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Rinduku menggapai dalam anganku saat ku ingat dirimu menyentuh kalbuku. Hanyalah bayanganmu hadir dalam rinduku, seakan tersenyum untukku, menatapku. Ku makin merindukanmu sampai ke dalam jantungku. Oh, merintih hatiku kini memanggil namamu. Apakah kau merasakan hal yang sama saat ku memanggil namamu saat ini? Ku makin merindukanmu sampai ke dalam jantungku, merintih hatiku kini memanggil namamu. Oh, ku makin merindukanmu sampai ke dalam jantungku, oh, merintih hatiku kini rindukanmu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Starts bright in the noon. I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it. New York, New York. These vagabond shoes are longing to stray right through the very heart of it. New York, New York. I want to wake up in a city that doesn't sleep and find I'm king of the hill, top of the heap. These little town blues are melting away. I'm gonna make a brand new start of it in old New York.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz. 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.